You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hannah Baba. We go looking for ghosts in old places. Hollywood has trained us to think of ghost towns as these dusty, abandoned communities deep in the desert. So it may surprise you to learn that there's a ghost town right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And that means this place was anything but dry and dusty, and its story is not exactly about ghosts. The town was called Drawbridge. Reporter Stephen Short tells us more.
A ghost town usually starts off as a boom town where lots of people arrive to harvest a rich natural resource. That may be raw minerals or timber, which can't go anywhere, but sometimes the natural resource can move.
Around the 1900, about 250,000 ducks every year were sold in the markets of San Francisco. It's a huge number.
That's Louise Pubels.
I'm Louise Pubels, and I'm the senior curator of history.
She says a good portion of those 250,000 ducks came from the marshes around a town called Drawbridge,
which flourished on what's now called Station Island, which is near Alviso, so in the South Bay.
Today, that's within the Fremont city limits. But back in the late 1800s,
it was this town that was totally off the grid, and it was really people who, for the most part, were not fancy sport hunters.
But, Pupils notes, nobody builds a community out of duck hunting cabins either.
And how this town got started is in around 1880, a railroad company built a track across two of the major sloughs in the South Bay, Mud Slough and Coyote Creek Slough. By law, you couldn't block any of these. This is how most of the major shipping went in and out of the bay. So they put drawbridges there, hence the name of the town.
And hence the name of the island Drawbridge inhabited, Station Island. The station agent was out there all by himself, and his sole duty was to operate those drawbridges. Now, there was plenty of train traffic in the 1880s, but that still gave this lonely man plenty of time to think.
And he realized there's really great duck hunting here.
So the agent invited some pals to join him, and, well, word got around. And the next thing you knew, these little hunting cabins started popping up. The railroad company soon heard about this, but rather than evicting these possible trespassers, they added scheduled weekend stops, thus selling more tickets.
And it boomed.
I say it's duck season, and I say fire!
These were regular Joes. They were people who worked probably in canneries or other kinds of businesses during the week. On the weekends, they would go up to Drawbridge and they would do market hunting, which is hunting as many ducks as you possibly could to sell to restaurants, butcher shops.
Charles Luce, one of the last residents of Drawbridge, told researchers in the late 1970s that people would arrive on the weekends from San Francisco carrying big suitcases, big empty suitcases. On Sunday night, they'd get back on the train wearing the same clothes they arrived in, and the suitcases would be full of ducks. Remember those 250,000 dead ducks mentioned earlier? Keep in mind that that's just the number of ducks sold through market hunting. It doesn't include those consumed by the hunters, or their acquaintances, or those that got away.
Mark.
Just for comparison, the current average of all the waterfowl, not just ducks, declared by hunters is about 2,100 per year. That's less than one-tenth of the number back then. So you can see why market hunting came to the attention of the authorities.
That practice was outlawed in the 19-teens, and that's why we have a Fish and Game Commission now.
But that didn't mean the hunting stopped. Pubels says hunters devised a way to get around the ban on market hunting. They still took the ducks to hotels in town, but they didn't sell them. Instead, they played a game called duck roulette. Somebody bet some ducks, somebody else bet some money.
And somehow by the end of the evening, all the ducks went one way, all the money went the other way. Nobody had actually bought ducks or sold ducks, but somehow the same effect had taken place.
Walk to the back of the Oakland Museum's recreation of a drawbridge hunting shack, and you'll see a particular style of boat that was unique to the South Bay, a marsh-fitted duck boat. It's very shallow so that it silently glides through the water, and the bow is extremely sharp.
because of the nature of the marshes. So, you know, they have these very sinuous curves to them of open water, and that's how you can move through them. You don't kind of plow your way straight through the plants, but they do naturally have these little streams and inlets and sloughs in them.
So the ducks never had a chance?
Afraid not, no.
Drawbridge had a pretty good run as a boomtown. Pubel says there were close to 100 structures there at its high point in the 1920s. Some were actual homes, some were businesses such as hotels, and most were gun clubs. But some people continued to live in and visit Drawbridge well into the 1970s. Today, what was once Drawbridge is part of wetlands that are off limits to the public. There's nothing to see now anyway, except for decaying buildings sinking into the marsh. And that's the way the Fish and Game officials like it. They now control the area as part of the Don Edwards National Wildlife Refuge. Ducks and other birds like it that way too. Their numbers are increasing now that the water quality is improving and not as many are being shot. The estimate of all waterfowl currently wintering in the bay is about 500,000. They still have a long way to go before returning to those massive numbers of the 1800s. But stick around another 100 years, and who knows, they might just outnumber us again. At the Oakland Museum of California, I'm Stephen Short for Cross Currents.